morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, going to be with you for about 58 minutes. Great show today. No politics, no politicians, no gloom and doom, just excitement. And the excitement is Barrington Stage is 30 years old. And I can't wait till I'm 30, but on this side. Alan Paul is the artistic director. I have him on. He's a wonderful guy. I was just reminiscing about last year's plays. Amazing. And I think this year, from reading, it's even going to be more amazing. And Alan, good afternoon. We are recording this on the 24th of April, and it'll play next Tuesday, whatever that is, April 30th. Best of a season. I really mean that. It's amazing what you put together.
Thank you. I mean, I had an amazing time last year, and I learned a whole lot from what people liked, from what they told me they liked, from what they told me they didn't like. And it was fun to put together a whole new array of stuff. So I can't believe summer is, oh my God, it's here. It's knocking at the door. We have staff arriving now, and we have actors arriving in 3 weeks for the first musical, and it's hibernation is coming to an end.
Yeah. I opened the door this morning, and all of a sudden I noticed it is spring. All the dandelions are back.
Yep. And my allergies are back.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you, brother. Just kind of a 30. How do you select the plays that you're going to have for a season? I mean, you must, you must think of hundreds, if not thousands, of plays. How do you then whittle that down? That's what the audience likes to hear, the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, you should see my list of rejected plays and musicals, and it looks like such a logical, cohesive process to what ends up on the stage. And if you were in my mind, you'd see that there are so many odd factors that go into choosing the plays that are practical and some to do with whatever reasons they are.
Right.
I think for me, the two big motivators were, well, first of all, in your intro, you said that when we're going to talk politics, there was no doom and gloom. And I think in the theater, when you're putting on a play or the musical, you're directing it, the first thing you talk about is what they call the given circumstances. You know, what is happening right now? And I was so conscious that outside the four walls of the theater is going to be an election, and that most of us are going to be very tired by cable news and by the news. I mean, the world is a heavy place, and it's been quite a year so far. And I think not that the theater is only a place of escape, but that I wanted to give people a chance to take time out of that election cycle and just have an escape. And sometimes that means the theater will be dedicated to giving you pleasure. Sometimes it means it'll be more topical. Sometimes it won't. But I think that's going to be the background of the summer. But the other piece for us is that it's Barrington Stage, as you said, turns 30 years old.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal. And it's only my second year doing it. She's an adult now. But there are so many people that have been so important to the company for the 28 years before I got there, including Julianne Boyd, the founding artistic director, and those three rascals you mentioned, Mark H. Gold, Chris Invar, and Deborah Jo Rupp. And I'm so conscious of walking into a theater that people loved for so many years, long before I got there. And it's important for me to both celebrate a new vision going forward, but also to celebrate some of the people that honestly, the company wouldn't exist without those three actors, because they were a part of so many of the artistic initiatives.
Yeah.
Those are the two big things. And we're starting the season with La Cage aux Folles because why not?
I mean, why not?
The big thing for me, I did Cabaret last summer.
Oh, it's great.
Thank you. It's a serious piece. It's classical, and yet it was made to have to do with some things that felt contemporary. But what it also was a sort of party in the Boyd Quinson Theater, because there was an immersive element to the show. And, you know, when the show was not serious, there was such a playful part to the singing and the dancing, and a sexiness to it, and a youngness to it. And when I would leave the theater every night, maybe because of the young stars of the show, but there would be 150 people gathered in the alley next to the theater waiting for the stars to come out. I mean, it was like a party atmosphere.
Yes.
And Alan, start with something fun, start with something with singing and dancing, and start with something that would both appeal to an older audience and a younger audience. And I think that's going to do the trick, and we're going through the designs for it now. I mean, there are so many big musical numbers in that show. It's such a big show. There's a lot of sequins, there's a lot of feathers, there's a lot of playfulness, and I just think if you're coming to the Berkshires for the summer, or you're trying to pick what show you want to see, I don't know how you could turn down going to La Cage. I think it's going to be raucous. One of the taglines from the lyrics to the main song in the show is, it's rather gaudy, but it's also rather grand.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's going to be. And we're not ready to announce the cast yet, but there's some amazing people in it. Some people the audience is going to know. And I think in the case of our one leading actor, someone who a lot of a new audience will know, because there's a person that's going to be in it who's well known in certain circles and spheres. And so, you know, I think we're going to start the summer with a bang. And I think the big lesson I learned with Cabaret is, if you start with a bang, it gets people excited about the rest of the summer. So I can't.
I think it's a great process. I think you started it last year, and I know I was there for practice. You blew people away when some of the actors mingled in with the crowd before the play. There are people I recognize been going there for, they opened, and they're like, what's going on?
Got the woman to get on the bar and yell at the audience and play her ukulele and yell at in German, I thought, you know, I believe it's such a dumb thing, and it's so specific to me. Don't tap the bell, ring the bell. And I just thought,
that's right.
You have one chance to say hello and introduce yourself. You better make it count. Because,
well, I think what you did too is you regenerated, or rejuvenated probably is the better word, the audience into the production.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said this 100 times on air. You can, as an audience, you can sense chemistry of the actors. You know that. And that play, Cabaret, was, I mean, I left there. I left there entertained and happy and laughing. And that's a credit to you and the staff and the actors, who are phenomenal.
Well, it's great when the chemistry happens, and I've also been a part of a show when it doesn't happen.
Oh, me, I've been a.
There's nothing worse than going, I can fix the staging, I can fix the costumes, but if nothing's happening, that is hard to fix.
Oh, yeah.
So you say a prayer every time out.
Well, and you know, we go down to another person, Mark Gage Dole and Deborah Jo Ruff and Chris Enver. They've been staples at Barrington and on this show. But I will also say, too, the one, the only, the great Mark St. Germain.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, this sounds like a fascinating play.
Yeah, so he's written a premiere called Forgiveness.
Yeah.
What it's about is based on true events. In the state of Minnesota, there is a pardon court set up by the governor and two other elected officials, and they will hear the case of someone who is, you know, serving their time for a crime of any level, from an arson to a murder to a tax evasion to a, you know, some smaller crimes. And when someone has done enough time in the prison system, they get 10 minutes in front of this court of three panel of three people to plead their case, to be legally forgiven. And this really happens. And Mark flew out
Oh, yeah.
to Minneapolis to watch a bunch of cases, and has written a play for four actors that is many sides of that in many cases. And it asks big questions. It's like an ancient Greek play in a way, because it's about what should we forgive people for?
Right.
You know, what is the line? If you have killed someone, at what point have you actually done enough time to be rehabilitated? Maybe you haven't. How does forgiveness work for the judges? I mean, how does it work for yourself? I mean, there are big questions about justice and clemency, and the actors, four of them, play different people that are pleading for forgiveness, and they also play different people on the panel and different people involved with the cases. So it's really fascinating, and it's a kind of theatrical thing that only Mark could do. And he's still writing it. I mean, we're changing it day by day. We're doing a workshop next month. It's so great to be with a living writer who, you know, the piece is evolving and will continue to evolve till the moment you see it. And what's wonderful about it is that as they figure out in the play who should be forgiven and who shouldn't be, the audience every single night will vote. And so what I'm anticipating is that at different performances,
Sure.
different audiences will think certain people should be forgiven and certain people shouldn't. And I'm eager to see the play a couple times to kind of understand, you know, how the mood of the day, or we talked about the given circumstances, the mood of the moment affects it. Or it might be that we find that every performance is the same. I don't know. I have no idea what people are going to feel.
Well, as a person whose background is criminal justice and has sat through those parole hearings,
You have. What are they like? Tell me.
they can be contentious depending on the crime.
Yeah.
They can be sympathetic depending on the age of the criminal and the time served.
Yeah.
But in any case, the lawyers, the inmates, the defendants, or the criminals, there's a lot of anxiety because some of them have been before and not gotten it.
Yeah.
And that's you've been to the plate, but you struck out. Now you're going back to the plate, maybe with new pitchers.
Yep.
But
And that's the anxiety of
I'm waiting to see it.
is
I'm so anxious.
how it affects everyone differently. And for a director and an actor, I mean, it's not like a court of law where you
No.
know, they're not coming in the case of this play with lawyers. They prepare their statement
Right.
themselves. And what I learned and Mark learned from the research and from seeing it is that, you know, you or I might walk in with a 10-page plan document, but a lot of these folks are coming in and speaking from the heart. And
Right.
the stakes are enormous because it means a new lease on life or not. And it's also the stakes are enormous for the people on the pardon court, because
Oh.
they're not going away and deliberating. They're coming to a conclusion in that moment.
Right there, right
I
then.
mean, the power of that, the power these three people hold,
Yeah.
I mean, there's something lacking in justice about that. There's something, you know, lacking in equity in that power structure as well. And so I think the play is examining all sides of how we come to those decisions.
Well, if
I'm
anybody can do it,
fascinated.
Mark Saint Germain can.
Yeah,
I
he's
mean,
the best. And the director is named Ron Lagomarsino, and they came together last year because Mark wrote a play called The Happiest Man on Earth, and
yeah.
Ron directed it. And they got along so well and worked so well together that they both signed on to do it again.
I'm going to give Mark a plug. By the way, Freud's Last Session, I have gotten breaking news, is now on Netflix.
Yes.
So, and I go back with Mark to that play and Mark H. Dole. I had them probably on his show three times during the play, in locally, and then when it went to New York, I had them back. Mark Saint Germain is a gifted human being. He can take real life situations, which he's done here, and put it on stage.
Amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
And amazing versatility as a writer that he can become Dr. Ruth or the happiest man on earth or Freud and
Yeah.
get in the style of the of their lives and the way they speak. He's like a chameleon of a writer.
He's, you know, whether you believe in God or not, but I'm going to tell you, he was born gifted. But going back, you know, when you say all of these things are coming together, this, we'll go back and recover some of this stuff, but help me with this, the adaptation from Shakespeare,
Oh, so for
The
those of you,
Tender Thing.
it's called The Tender Thing, and it's written by Ben Power. Ben Power was the adapter of the Lehman Trilogy, which played
Yep.
on Broadway. Amazing, amazing night of theater. And for those of you that don't know, my background is I worked for 15 years at a classical theater and did Shakespeare 6 days a week for 15 years. And I directed Romeo and Juliet twice. And so this is an unusual play. It's written for two older actors in their 60s, 70s, or 80s. We're still figuring out who the actors are. And their names are Romeo and Juliet.
Oh,
And
wow.
it's on the others, you know, Romeo and Juliet, the play is about 14-year-olds falling in love.
Right.
And this is about a long married couple on the other side of the mountain. And they're dealing with both their love for each other and then some challenges that come up in their lives that are complicated by old age. But what's quirky and interesting about the play is that it's all Shakespeare's language. So the masterful writer Ben Power has taken the words you know and speeches from Romeo and Juliet and put them in an entirely different context so that you get an entirely different story about these two people. It never specifies if they are the Romeo and Juliet from that story because they never reference what happened at the beginning of their lives. But, you know, for those people that love Shakespeare, you know, there's an amazing scene in the play where Romeo is afraid that Juliet is sick and has a dream about her. And she gets irritated with him when he wakes up and tells her about his dream. And then she gives the famous Queen Mab speech that Mercutio gives in the play to snap Romeo out of his reverie. The wife gives to the Romeo here. And
Oh,
so
wow.
you're getting
Wow.
all these things. And for me, having directed so many young actors, I mean, I've had so many young actresses play Juliet, and they have that famous line, "My love is as boundless as the sea. The more I give to thee, the more I have. For both are infinite." And now, trying to get even a 25-year-old Juilliard graduate to say that, they scream it, they cry it, they emote on it. But for someone in their 70s to say to their husband or wife, "The
Yeah.
more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite," it's a much, much deeper, kind of more internal
Really?
understanding. And so these great words that young people can say, well, when you put those sentiments in the mouths of an older couple, it is such a different way to do Shakespeare. So it's, for me, it's an unusual play. It's classical. It's the greatest language you'll ever hear. And what I learned about this audience is that from Waiting for Godot to Faith Healer, these are two
Yeah.
great plays with language that are serious. And I would not necessarily have felt that those would be a big hit in the summer because they're serious fare. And it turns out that the audience at Barrington is so smart and so hungry for something intellectual that they can talk about. And
Yes.
I think that this is going to be that piece this summer.
And you know, being in that group,
Yeah.
today's our 53rd wedding anniversary. We are both in our 70s, so I'm chomping at the bit to
Well,
see.
yeah, and I think that this audience in the Berkshires, they want to see themselves reflected on stage, and so I think it's an interesting take on
Yeah.
Shakespeare. And I called Alan Burroughs, who's my friend, who's the artistic director
He's a
of.
great guy. I'd never tell him, but he's a great guy.
Well, I tell him sometimes,
I'm
and I
only
called
kidding.
him and I said, you know, I'm doing this play. It is
Yeah.
based on Shakespeare. I am not trying to take up the mantle of your company. We love your company, but I'm excited about Shakespeare too. And he said, "Godspeed." You know, he gave it his
Yeah.
blessing, which I thought was pretty classy.
He is one of my favorite people in the world. He is a class act, But he's also, he's, in my opinion, new eyes, new breath, new brain. And that's not saying anything about anybody else. That's just saying that this is life. Things change. He's done at Shakespeare what I think you're doing here. Oh. And before I forget, which at my age, trust me, is like momentarily, your logic for your first play, Lacage, is brilliant, because by that time, everyone will be sick of television, sick of elections, sick of anything to do with politics. And I think this, when just like I said, waiting to see this is really something for us to look forward to. Yeah. And a tender thing. I can't wait to see that because I'll be looking at it from internally.
Yeah.
Because I'm that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. It's unusual. It's a risk in a way, because I've never seen a play like this. But I think that my job is to take some risks and hope they pay off.
Well, I just saw something a month or so ago about bringing back all the old plays because there are no good new plays. Well, I don't believe that.
No.
I don't. I think it's more financial than theatrical. That's just my opinion. And by the way, in case you forgot, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the person riding their bike in the northbound lane going south. So on North Street. Again, when you go back, you must get inundated with plays.
Yeah. My inbox right now, I need a week off to sit with no email on and catch up on everything. Because to be honest, we're planning next summer right now.
Whoa.
And trying to get some major commercial projects to the theater. And there's a lot of ambition I have for what I want to do. And, it takes time.
And commitment. And that's what I noticed. First thing about our first interview was this guy's committed. And I told the Polish princess that. I said, he really is committed to bringing the best to this theater and all your past years of talent. I mean that. I'm not just blowing smoke, because people will tell you, the people who really know me, I don't have any filters. So. Really.
I can second that one.
Yeah. The selecting actors, do you do that, or do you let the director do that?
Well, it's a combination. I sit with the director in auditions, and we go through the pros and cons of certain people. But I think when you hire a good director, you have to, for the most part, say yes to someone unless there's a problem. But I'm there all the time. I mean, what happens is we'll sit for a week in auditions in New York City and meet a lot of people, and then we'll make decisions. Or sometimes we'll make offers to people, like Tender Thing. We're making offers right now to some well-known actors that you want to try. And the auditions for Lacage were really fun, because for the ensemble, it was a group of men in high heels, and the choreographer had them doing acrobatics in high heels. And they did things that I could never do 20 years ago, like do a cartwheel in high heels into a split and then hit a high note. And I thought, I feel old. I feel very old.
Yeah. Well, you should be in this body looking out. Everybody said, oh, you look great. Really? You don't want to be in here. The other boat. Now, what's this with Boeing in the swing?
Boeing.
Yeah.
Boeing is in the middle of the summer. And it's a French play from 1961 that Julie Boyd is directing. And the basic premise of the play is so fabulous. It's in the swinging 60s. Where sex was just free, and people probably had more fun than they're having now. Although, I think the young people of this generation could take a note from the people that were young in the 60s and free love.
Exactly.
And the story revolves around a gentleman played by Chris Invar, who has three different girlfriends. He's got an American stewardess, a German stewardess, and an Italian stewardess. And they're all stewardesses on the Boeing jets. And they don't know about each other. And at a certain point, there's a storm, and they all end up at his house at the same time. And what's funny about it is that, he's got a housekeeper that Deborah Jo Rupp plays, who is saddled with helping him deal with this crisis he's created for himself. But the women have secrets of their own too, and there is a lot going on behind the scenes in these relationships, and the women end up coming out very much on top. And so it's a play that is really, really just fun. It's
Good.
funny, it's sexy, and I think for me, it's like the gift of laughter in July is one not to be underestimated. And I think for if you want to laugh, that will be the show of the summer for you.
It sounds like and the people that are playing the parts I know so very well. I'm sure it's going to just be so well accepted. And I think, especially, maybe it's just me, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I think this year, with all that's going on in the world and on the campuses and the anti-Semitism, we're going to need a break. We're going to need a break. And I think somehow you can see the future. I don't know whether you're a relative of Nostradamus or what, but. The what the what you put together here is very, very powerful, and it's a powerful season, but it's also a season to me. When I first read it, I said, sometimes, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but sometimes I said, oh, I don't want to go to that. Gee, I don't want to shoot me, But this one, I'm excited about every one.
They're all different. They're all different,
Yeah.
and they're all different feeling. And the musical we're doing at the end of the summer is a very serious musical. I mean, it's not all fun and games this summer, but the musical I'm directing is called Next to Normal. It
Yeah.
played on Broadway. It was a major hit, ran for 2 or 3 years. It is one of seven musicals in the history of musical theater to win the Pulitzer Prize for drama.
Yeah.
It's funny, it's touching, but it's also a very serious exploration of the mental health of the matriarch of a family with two kids and what happens in their lives. And it turns out that this family is dealing with some ghosts of their past that they begin to confront in the piece. And it's not a feel-good musical or a feel-bad musical. The New York Times called it a feel-everything musical.
Oh, cool.
And it's a co-production with a theater in Washington, D.C. called Roundhouse. So I did the first leg of the co-production in January, February, and March, and then we're bringing it to the Berkshires with a new cast this summer. But at the theater, it was the third highest selling show in the history of Roundhouse Theater. And
Wow.
what I found out is that people every single night for 6 weeks stood on their feet at the first moments of the blackout at the end of it, screamed, cried, were uplifted by it. It ends on a very hopeful note. And before we started, there was a woman named Lenore. I know nothing about her, but she came up to me at a donor event at a technical rehearsal, and she said, "I love the original. I can't imagine I'm going to like yours as much as I like the original." And I was taken aback, but I said, "Well,
Really?
give me a chance, and you'll let me know." Never thought I'd see her again in my life. I came back for the closing on March 3rd, and she was there. And she said, "It's my fifth time seeing the show. I still haven't made up my mind which I like better, but I liked it enough to come five times."
Five times.
And
Wow.
this we found in Washington. There were groupies that would just come over and over again. And Lenore was in her 70s. This is not a kid. So I'm excited, and there's a multimedia element to the show. It's about one woman's journey through depression, bipolar, and beyond that. And it's done in a funny way, but I wanted to show her emotion up close. So in the theater, there are seven live cameras that like capture her face, and they go as close as capturing just one eyeball that is the size of the entire stage. And they're trying to capture the internal experience she's having. And so there's an exciting kind of multimedia video element to the show. And I think it's a perfect kind of opposite to Lacage, because it's serious, and it'll make you think, and it'll make you feel something. And I think even in a summer where we want to get away from politics, I think what we also need is catharsis, you know, to come together and feel something. And the truth is, what I didn't expect is that every person in the world is part of a family that is touched by some form of difficulty, mental illness.
Right.
And some people talk about it, some people don't, some people can, some people can't, but it's a part of our lives. And so it's a very powerful musical in that respect.
We're going to have to take a break. I'm here with Alan Paul. He is the artistic director of Barrington Stage. There's a phenomenal season coming, and I'm going to use that word. I know what it means, phenomenal, because it's, we'll go over, and because we're a morning show, we'll go back and hit some of the other things we've already hit. But I just, my last thing before the break is this. Now, I know some of you have never been to a live performance because you were in or had to go to the school play. this is a big difference. Trust me when I tell you. Culture is really inherent to Pittsfield and Berkshire County. And so if you've never been to a play, they have, what are those, the discounted tickets? What do you call those in the beginning?
Yeah, in the previews. We're doing $30 preview seats for the 30th anniversary for all previews.
All previews, $30. Trust me, go to one of these. You look at whatever you want and you choose the one. But please, if you, especially if you've never been to a live performance, you become a real fan and a real theater goer. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PC TV, channel 1301, Spectrum Cable. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. We got a lot more to talk about.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Hey, for those just joining us, what a great show we're having. I have with me today Alan Paul. He's the artistic director of Barrington Stage. It's his second season. All I can tell you is his first season, in my opinion, was phenomenal. It just really was. And what he has planned for this season, and we're going to go over, for some of you, maybe a little repetitious, but that's okay. Some of you are just joining. You got the kids on the bus, whatever. But the plays, Lacage will be the opening play. And Alan, why did you pick it? I know you said it before, but
I wanted to start
for the newer people.
I wanted to start the summer with a party. I wanted to be fun, light, and have great singing and dancing. And that's what you're going to have. So kick us off right.
Yeah, and The other piece, and I want to go to in this, and only because I can't say enough about this wonderful, wonderful person, Mark Saint Germain. But he's written this play, Forgiveness. Give us an overview of that, please, Alan.
Yeah, Forgiveness is a world premiere, and it's based on a true thing, which is that in Minnesota, people that have committed a crime can go in front of a real life panel who in the course of 10 minutes chooses if they're going to be forgiven for their crimes or not. And so Mark has taken four heart-wrenching stories and fictionalized them about that process. And the play explores what it means to forgive and what it means to be forgiven. And you, as an audience member, will get to vote every night on who you think should be forgiven and not. And I think it's going to have some really interesting results for the audience. Get them to think.
Yeah, and as I said in the first half, I've sat in those, and I was just thinking the night before this.
Imagine what they feel.
Well, the guy shared, he had been and turned down. And he said to me, I'm going, I'm scheduled for 10 o'clock. He said, I should know by 10:30, yay or nay, thumbs up, thumbs down. He said, I'm not sure I can take another thumbs down. He said, he had been there over 20 years. Yeah. and a model inmate. And I know people outside the system don't understand, but there are model inmates. I don't care what they did outside.
What happened to him?
I'm sorry?
What happened to him?
I went in with him. And I didn't think they were going to go. At the very end, his plea is the right word, was so heartfelt that if they couldn't see that, I would have lost all faith in humanity. They voted him to get out, parole. And the guy had never been in trouble in 20 plus years inside. It was one of these. his crime was a beating, beat somebody up. They didn't die, but it was very violent. And his rehabilitation, whatever you want to call it, if you didn't see it in his heart that he was sorry and that he would never come back to the joint, when they told him, he looked at me and you could tell he was, just welled up. And we walked back to the cell block and we didn't chat. We didn't say a word.
You didn't have
to. Back in his cell, and he looked and he said, "Thanks for coming with me." I said, "I don't have anything else to do." But I can't wait to see this because to me, this one tender thing, it's Alan. Give another quick overview of it. I can't wait to see it because it's the old soldier and the Polish princess.
We all know what happened or what we think happened to Romeo and Juliet, but this is a play about what happens if they had lived. And so you meet them, they never discuss their past, but you meet them at the tender age of probably 70 years old. And it's a play about their love. It's a play about how they deal with the challenges of growing older and illness. And what it does is it uses the language of Shakespeare to tell the story. So most of the words are from Shakespeare. Some are from Romeo and Juliet. Some are from the sonnets. Some are from Twelfth Night and other plays. And Ben Powers, who did the adaptation of the Lehman trilogy in English, has done his same magic work here. So if you love language, you love classical theater, or you love serious stories, this will be the piece for you. Unusual.
Yeah. It's a nice mixture.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you intended that.
Yes.
Or the way it fell out.
I'll take credit for it if it goes well.
I don't blame you. Yeah, I would. And You know, Boeing is a swinging 60s love and sex in the air. Being of that era, I can remember the 60s. I can't remember where I parked the car, but I can remember where the 60s. The people starring in this, I've known every one of them, and they've been on the program. You know them. It's Deborah Jo Rupp. She's a phenomenal person. She's a phenomenal lady. Chris Envar, great guy. And Mark H. Dole, I look at him as like a brother. Or a son probably would be better. He wouldn't want to be up at my age. But they're all talented actors. And I'll just say this about Dole. He was in the one, I can't think of the name of it now, but he played the guy that the Enigma machine.
Breaking the Code?
Breaking the Code. Well, I saw him in that, and I saw the movie. He was far better. He had all the little idiot, and I also saw like a documentary of the actual person. Mark had all the little idiosyncrasies that he had, down to and Mark Dole can. I can't say enough good about all three of them, but Mark especially. And it will be directed by the founding person, the lady who founded this group 30 years ago. Julianne Boyd. So
it'll be the fun of the summer. I mean, I think if you want to laugh and you want to feel that mob 1960s energy, I've just seen the costumes. They're colorful. I had a funny encounter with a patron last year. I did a very serious play that I was proud of in the middle of the summer. And the patron congratulated me, said it was very, very good. And then he said, but wouldn't it be fun to have a comedy in the summer? And I thought, you know, you have a point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you have a good following.
Yeah.
Barrington has a good following. And I think when people go, there's an expectation. Yeah. And I think from what I've read in on this, I think you're meeting that expectation. And again, I don't want to blow smoke at you, but you're choosing of this flow, even how you scheduled them. How do you do that? Because people always say to me, why didn't you ask him how he did it? You know, no, I do, but you can't. They want to know more. A lot of the folks who listen and watch this program, they're very smart. They're very educated. And they were interested in all the nitty gritty kind of stuff.
Well, Boeing is a perfect example because that came to me because Julie and I were looking for something for those three actors. And try to find a play that puts the three of them together. It's an unusual play. And for a time, we were exploring doing Noises Off. And it's an amazing play, but it has too many doors, too many set changes, and I wasn't sure we could pull it off. And then we said, Boeing, why not? And it turned out that the first person we asked was Deborah Jo, who had loved the play and was looking to come back, and it all fell into place. So, I mean, there is sometimes a grand design, but usually it's just what is practical. I mean, is how you do it. And of course, I was looking for something for Mark St. Germain, and very hard to say no to a man whose name is above the door of the theater. So those are fun, organic conversations I have about, what do you think we should do? What would be exciting? What haven't we done before? We're having another one about a play now. So it's fun to have a creative community at this company and to, you know, really engage their artistry.
Yeah, and they're experts at their craft.
Yeah,
they really are, and that's not blowing smoke. That's just fact.
And if you're smart, you shut up and listen when they talk.
Yeah, and they have so much to give. And they're what I found with all everybody that we've mentioned here, from Mark St. Germain to Chris Envar to Deborah Jo Rupp, Mark Dole, those are the ones. They're not aloof. No. They're share. They're sharers. They
That's
want
what they like about
with... Yeah. I've told the story. I must tell you, though. You'll appreciate it more than anybody. So I have this show, our interview, and the producer comes, the stars come, the director comes, and this other lady, I don't know, the man in the moon, right? And she comes in, and we're all set to go, you know, 3 minutes there, right? Excuse me. Yes. How long will this be? I have rehearsing to do. And I said, well, it can be over right now. And of course, they all went, not the director, the producer. No, man, this is an hour of re-advertising. Well, her part, the rehearsal, you'll get a kick out of this being in the field. Her rehearsal, this was her entire performance. Madam, what time shall I bring the tea? And I'm thinking, when I meet people like Enver and Dole and Saint Germain, real, real stars.
Yeah.
And this lady was, you got to go practice that. But
listen, maybe she really need to practice it.
Well, maybe.
Sounds like she might have.
Yeah, it sounded like she first wasn't in the theater very long. But you're saying already you're starting to look at next year.
Yeah.
I have a list. How do you do it?
I'm afraid I'm going to forget the good ideas I had. So we're beginning to piece it together, and I want to bring in some new things. So you just get used to juggling, I guess.
I just, when I see that all the work that must go into selecting one play.
Yeah.
If you had a, like, roughly say Boeing. Well, that one how about a Tender Thing? How long did it take you to say, well, let's go with this and let's slot it here. And who do you think we should get as actors? I mean, what I try to let people know in the theater, especially for people who want to cut theater and schools, there's so much that people learn from the theater. The discipline that, I mean, what you do, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you can see all these people move, and they're all moving. Alan, they're all moving. You know that. Why am I telling you? I guess I'm telling the audience.
But I think in the theater, you learn collaboration. You learn how to listen. You learn when to talk. You learn how to be constructive or what it means to not be constructive. You learn how delicate egos are, and creativity can blossom in the right circumstance or be killed in the wrong circumstance. And it's all, you know, very, what's the word? You can make a dream or wreck a dream in a moment. So it's a very delicate profession.
And it's the other thing I've learned about the theater is it's also networking.
Yeah.
You know, I know this guy's great for that part. And then you get a phone call, and I think that is so wonderful. That camaraderie within the theater.
Yeah.
Because it's been a tough couple of years for theater people in the theater.
Yes, it has. So we feel good being back, and we feel it's going to be a robust summer. So that's the biggest part, is to get the audience in and make it happen.
Well, and you also are saying you got a full slate coming for cabaret and the concerts. It's more to come.
A lot more. And we have some major stars coming this summer. We're going to make an announcement very soon.
So okay.
Stay tuned. But some things that are, you're not going to want to miss them. And that's not a sell. It's what I really feel. I got a lot of people coming this summer that are A triple plus.
Wow. Wow. And you know, that the building, that theater, that cabaret holds a lot of dearness to me. It used to be the VFW.
And for people that haven't been in it, it's 90 seats.
Yeah.
People sing in a really intimate venue, and they serve beer and wine.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect thing to do on a night that you're not going to the theater. It's usually an hour long, and some world-class people come up there, and you see them right.
Entertaining. Here's what I tell people, and I'm sure the listeners are saying, if he says that one more time, when you get to the theater or you get to the cabaret, all your troubles, all your cares, all your worries, all your anxiety, package them up, put a little bow on it, and leave it outside. Then go in and sit there and enjoy. Because trust me, that little bag waiting outside, nobody's fixed anything for you. It'll all be there. But while you're, because I, nothing drives me more crazy than to see people taking out their phones. Are you that important? I mean, I shut my phone off and I'm not important and I know that, but I want to enjoy the moment. You know, a lot of people put a lot of effort into me enjoying this moment. I don't need to be checking my phone to see whatever.
The gospel is spoken by Bill Sturgeon. I love it.
Well, I don't know about the gospel, but I that's how I feel. I honest to God think that when people go to a theater, go to a cabaret.
Turn it off.
Are you that? I mean, if you're a medical doctor or something, that's different. But 99% of us aren't that important. So we can't be off air. You know? So you said, are you still selecting some of the actors for some of these roles?
Yeah, I've made an offer for a tender thing this morning, and I'm waiting.
Oh, good.
We're you know, you pick up the phone and change someone's life. So either they change mine. So it's nerve wracking. It's fun. And a lot of new faces this summer, which is a good thing.
And, you know, we only got a few minutes left, but I want you to go into the, because you said it earlier and I didn't pick up on it. And then it flew away and then it just flew back. It goes in and out of my, this bird flies. The set. You know where the set really came to life for me?
Where?
Freud's last session. It was like you were in Freud's office. That, and you were saying that in about the doors and all that. That, it's so true. It can't be too complicated.
Well, it's very, you have to have staged the whole play in your mind and know where the door should be in the chair, especially for Boeing, because it's a farce. You know, you right. can't... If the stage is too big and they have too much time to enter and exit, it kills the moment. So you're making intricate decisions before you even start. And the set is the first thing you see when you walk in. So it's
important. Yeah.
And the way things look is important in the theater.
Yeah. And the other piece you mentioned, and I guess why I'm doing this is to show all the people, the listeners and viewers, this is an very intricate thing. You mentioned the costumes for Boeing. I may have some upstairs if you're running short, because I, you know, I, that was our ear, but that is true. The costumes can make or break a deal.
So, well, it all can. And, you know, we bring up almost 200 people every summer at Barrington Stage to put the shows on. So what looks, well, it doesn't look like a small operation. It looks like a big operation. And I just want to tell everyone, it's enormous. And we rely on the talent of so many people that come into Pittsfield for the summer. Costumes, sets, wardrobe, musicians, lighting.
Yes.
Tan, stitchers, prop artisans, box office. I mean, there's a whole group of 200 people that come in to make it possible.
And I will tell you, Barrington Stage has contributed so much to the downtown of Pittsfield, to all of Berkshire County, as has the other Shakespeare, Colonial, Williamstown. We are a cultural hub, especially in the summer. And we found that out, Alan. We found that out during COVID. I call it the COVID desert. Tanglewood was closed. You guys were closed. It was just like
pretty boring, right?
Yeah, watching reruns of Jerry Springer. Anyhow, Alan, I'm always here for you guys. If you want, we'll work with Drew, however you want. You're the boss. Just let me know. We'll schedule him on and get you some promotional information.
Pleasure to talk to you.
You're the best. Good. Break a leg.
And, see you this summer, everybody.
All right. You'll be seeing me. Don't take that as a threat. Be well, Alan. Thank you for everything. Good luck to you. Break a leg. Bye, everybody. And as I always say to every day, God bless. And today, let's take care of each other. Because in the big scheme of things, with all the turmoil in the world and the hatred and all that, each other, that's all we have. It's truly all we have. Take care, my friend. Be in touch. I'm